Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, Saturday.
Billy is fine, the sun shines most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA is fine, but it ain't home. New York's home, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I cried. I am, said I, and I am lost, and I can't even say why. Leaving me lonely still. Did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of being a king and then became one? Well, except for the names and a few other changes, if you talk about me, the story's the same one. But I got an emptiness deep inside that I've tried, but it won't let me go. And I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I never cared for the sound of being alone. I am upstairs to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I cried. I am, said I, and I am lost, and I can't even say why. I am myself.
That was Neil Diamond, I Am, I Said. So we get there. Neil Diamond, born January 24, 1941. Neil Leslie Diamond is an American singer, songwriter, musician, and occasionally an actor. They sold more than 100 million records worldwide, making him one of the best-selling musicians of all time. He's had 10 number one singles on the Hot 100 and Adult Contemporary charts. Crack with Rosie, Song Sung Blue, Longfellow Serenade, I've Been This Way Before, If You Know What I Mean, Desiree, You Don't Bring Me Flowers, America, Yesterday's Songs, and Heartlight. 38 songs by Neil Diamond have been featured in the top 10 of the Billboard Adult Contemporary charts. He also played in movies such as The Jazz Singer, a musical drama film. Diamond was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1984 and into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2011, and received the Sammy Kahn Lifetime Achievement Award in 2000. In 2011, he was an honoree at the Kennedy Center Honors, and he received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2018. Yeah, I've never been a fan of being alone. He's got some great Lyon's a great songwriter, lyricist, and poet. Yes, Phil Diamond was a poet. Welcome back, my friend. It's Hatterday Saturday. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the next 2 hours. With me is my co-host, A.P. Taylor from Down Under. A.P., how are you?
Yeah, really well, Hatter. How are you?
I've been better, but I made it. Making it through another weekend.
Yeah,
and
cool.
With us also is my little sister, my best friend, Deborah Lee. She does all the heavy lifting in the back so we can sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Yeah,
good
Neil Diamond,
here.
Great choice. Great choice. One album of his with Cracklin' Rosie on it, my sister played constantly. Over and over and over. It could have been worse. I saw a few years ago Neil Diamond playing in Central Park. I think it was Central Park
Did the sound chop up for everybody?
What's that?
Was the sound choppy for everyone, or just me?
Little.
I don't know.
I'm breaking up. Oh boy.
No. You're not. The song was, and I want to know whether
the song
you find a better recording or if it was just my phone.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad in my end. I had a little cracking, but not bad.
Okay. Huh. Well, you know, I know you have a few more things that you want to say, but the studio is, like, full of people. You want to say hi to some of them?
Yeah, let them in. It's cold outside.
Okay.
Well, I've let everybody in, Hatter. And so we have Ali. Hello, Ali. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm better than I was earlier.
Good, thank you.
Yes.
Excellent. That's all you can ask. We have Stephen. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. I'm not a man who likes to swear, but I've never cared for the sound of being alone.
There you go. Crackled Rosie.
Right. And we have Wayne. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Hello, AP, Hatter, Deb, Steve, Ellie.
Hey,
Hatter, you just thought the number one song of Neil Diamond that I always liked. The number one song I always thought it was the best one he had was Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. It's my favorite song.
There you go.
I
love that
Brother
song.
Love.
My father used to play that. I haven't heard that song for about 20 years, but he used to have it on short rotation back home on the record player. Let me tell you, I love that song.
One of the major league teams. I think it's the Mets. They play Cracklin' Rosie every seventh inning. I'm not sure if it's Mets.
Oh, really?
Or not, but...
Well, that's like all the stadiums play Caroline, and the whole crowd does the do 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 in between the stuff. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and I mean now. How long
does
his music last?
Oh, I know. He's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That's not cracking.
Yeah, really no, I don't know, Hatter, but we better, on the subject of moseying on, we better get Stephen to read his palm, or otherwise he'll be falling asleep on us.
Yes, yeah. Line him up, AP.
It's on the board.
I am refreshing. Okay. Well, I wrote a four-part series about my home, so that's why I brought this one. This one is Summer Going Into Fall, and it's called Iced Tea Torpidity Awakens Cinnamon Stick Smiles. Pilsner procrastinations give way to green-meated melon lists of back porch sunroom possibilities. Radial carbide screeches subside to claw hammer percussion, and glue gun giggles as screened outdoor breakfast nook becomes reality. Brow wiping smiles and exhausted sigh silliness bring open iced tea conversations as dusk awakens the insect chorus and the firefly demands of an encore. Propane burger boastings topped with blushing beef steaks from the side yard patch and shucked corn contentment to lead to picnic table talks and summer suppers. Crimson tackle box sits in trunk, spoons, spinners, and jigs napping, but ready to go after the lunkers. Purring ball of fur laying in heated blankets of window-paned sunbeams, legs twitching in unconscious pursuit. Leisure lemonade languors cause grinning squeaky porch swing chuckles, knowing nature's brush will soon be dipped. Falling fronds of vibrant shades will cover emerald blades. The scent of steaming shellfish will dance in nostrils, and cinnamon sticks will once again bring warm apple cider whims. End poem.
Wow, the whole thing. What was the? Yeah, you could smell the barbecue. And you gotta know how to properly shuck corn. It's funny to watch somebody that doesn't. Hey, Pete, what'd you think?
Yeah, it's good fun, sir. No, I love the image. I love the start of it, actually. The pills and the procrastinations give way to green, meated melon, this, the back porch, sunroom possibilities. I think it's a great way to start a poem. And it really gives you a sense of what you like and it really sets up the rest of the poem. So I enjoyed the start. I enjoyed the whole way through, but I particularly enjoyed the start in terms of how it just set the mood.
Now, did you post that Kincaid after the fact, or is that part of it, your prompt?
This was when we were doing a whole year of Thomas Kincaid once a month, and okay. So that was a picture that we chose to write to. That was the prompt.
Yeah, and he's a master at the glow of a light, indoor light.
Yeah.
Whether it be in the rain of an old village or something, that certain glow. I tell you, you don't see that often. It's not an easy thing to do. Allie, what did you think of the poem?
I said, normally I choose one or two lines, but this whole poem was so fabulously done and so full of stunning images and details that made me feel like I was right there, that I couldn't just choose some lines. This whole poem was amazingly done, Stephen.
Yeah, that's one of the parts of this radio gig, besides being a little more personal with our fellow poets. We have all the senses. We have audio. We get to hear each other. We see it. We're reading it. The only thing left is touching. Uh-oh. We'll be back in school. Deborah, I can smell the cinnamon sticks now.
Can you?
I do. My mom used to burn the cinnamon in the house.
Yeah. Nowadays, they just hide them in wreaths and stuff so the whole house smells like them. But, yeah, Stephen, I think that some of the art that you guys put out for him this year inspired some of the most breathtakingly image-filled poems that there are. But then they all seem to have an amazing amount of nostalgia and sights and smells and pieces of ourselves that we put into these. And I don't think that there's one that came out bad as far as your prompt, just saying. But the poem, your poem, is really gorgeous. I could sit here and just listen to you read, and I could smell the scene, and I could picture the scene, and just your color choices and stuff were breathtaking. It's really a gorgeous piece.
Thank you, Deb.
Yeah, I like the part of the tackle box sits in trunk, spoons, spinners, and jigs napping, ready to go after the lunkers. What's the biggest, Steven? What's your biggest lunker?
The biggest one I've ever caught?
Yeah.
Kay just pointed at herself. But yeah, I would have to say it was probably a walleye. Me and my dad out on Lake Erie. I'd say it had to be over 2 feet. He was a good one, and he was delicious.
Yeah. Now lunkers out here on the West Coast means bass. The lunkers just big fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. A lot of people do call bass lockers. Yeah. The biggest bass I ever caught was probably 17.
I'll have to send you some of my videos. Video of some of the bass. Very good. Is KKK there with you too? I suppose. Yeah. You know, I'm actually poking you.
Yeah.
She had perfect timing with her last little joke.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess it was her last little fact. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking. Did you still bring something also?
Stephen talked about his show.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Let's do that.
Oh, yes. Over at Aquatic Slice of Life, we are celebrating St. Patrick's Day all the way up until St. Patrick's Day. And Monday is the Mortuary of Shadows, and it will be our annual Dark Irish Legends show. And we're featuring three Dark Irish Legends. One is the Dear Dhu, which is a female Irish vampire. And then the Morrigan is an Irish goddess who likes to mess with warriors' heads by letting them know that they're going to die in battle that day and try to change the outcome of the war. And then the Pooka, a shape-shifting, mischievous fairy. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday.
Wow. Who'd have thought? Irish witches. Oh, cool. But thank you for stopping by the show. I don't know if you guys know it, but even if I don't call in, I'm listening to your show most of the time.
Yeah, you told us that once. So, yeah, whenever we see you on the board, that's why we hit the con button.
Oh, that's right. The con. I'm the con. Well, cool. So let's get a weather report. How deep's the snow, Stephen?
Most of the snow was actually all the snow was gone, but then we got hit with a little storm just a little bit ago. But it's only a couple inches on the ground, and it'll probably melt by Monday or Tuesday. Right. It's supposed to get back up into the 60s.
And Deborah, how about you? I know you're waiting for the special storm, the super storm.
Waiting for it?
Well, you're constantly getting these fronts in. They're gonna mesh one of these times.
Yeah, well,
Deborah
really
sends me videos of the wind in the backyard, of her backyard, and the trees are constantly.
That sounds crazy, Hatter.
Oh.
I could do that right
now.
We're in the middle of ice over, and it's snowing, and psycho. It was 75 a couple days ago.
Yeah,
and I don't know for sure because I haven't talked to her today, but I'm fairly confident that Sweet got snowed out of her engagement in Washington, D.C., which would be a real bummer. So we'll find out.
Oh, man. Well, an act of Congress. We'll have to write letters.
We will.
Yeah, everything on Congress is videotaped. There's got to be a videotape when they do
it,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
You're getting pretty sidetracked there, bro. Did you want to let Wayne comment on Stephen's poem?
Oh, hi, Wayne. I forgot how you do with Wade. Yeah, Wade, what do you think of the
poem? I think there's one backyard cookout that I wouldn't want to miss. It Stephen just grabbed. It's got the flavors, the taste, the sights, the sounds. It's got everything in it. But I think after we get a bite to eat at the backyard, we ought to go fish and catch a few fish. That's what I think we ought to be doing.
There you go.
Good job, Stephen.
It's like AP Taylor did our winter. It's 100 degrees. They're in Bermuda shorts and golf shoes.
No, I'm not in Bermuda shorts. There, it's only 87 here. It's not so ridiculous.
Yeah, we're bouncing around California. We're bouncing around. We'll hit down into the 40s and then back up to the 60s. And woe is me. Let's go. Allie, would you like to read yours?
Sure. I simply titled it Home, but I might change the title soon. But Home used to be just me and my parents. Then Home became me, my parents, and my brother. Then suddenly my home became me, my parents, my brother, and my cousin. Shortly thereafter, home became a home to us all, plus the premature baby I had, Sophia. Just as quick as everyone entered, it seemed they were leaving. Sophia passed away. My cousin and her mom found a house. My parents got in trouble. Home wasn't really home. The new parents made it feel more like home, though. Home is a place meant for people to love each other, but that doesn't always happen. To me, I have three homes. One is home. The second one is a team of voices. A team of voices is my second family. The pond with the birds and butterflies is my third. Home is where I was told by my old parents they had no hope for me. Well, I can say now they were wrong, as I will always have my brother and daughter, and they will never have my daughter. Earlier today, I deleted all my poems, but I remembered that a team of voices is my second family, and I republished them. A team of voices, thank you for being such a loving second family, or should I say third? Also, thanks for being my second home. I love you all. End poem.
Oh, Allie. So much in here. I'm glad you feel comfortable here in the ATOV family. Deborah, what'd you think?
Did you say my name?
Yes, Deborah.
You really put yourself out in this one, Allie. Your emotions, your history is all over the page for everyone, and you show all the stuff you've been through that brings us to the Allie that we all know. And sometimes it amazes me how open you can be. And then when you say about having many homes, it's really awesome to hear that a team of voices is a place that makes you feel safe. And I'm really, really glad that you do, because, we all love watching you flourish and get it out on paper rather than keeping it in, which is such a bad thing for you. And the more you get it out, it seems the more you blossom. So just keep oozing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's noticeable how much more comfortable you are, and that's a good thing. AP Taylor, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I think each time, as Deb said, you get your pen to paper, Allie, you find more ways to connect your thoughts with a wider audience, and you do it in a way that is very distinctively you. And in that way, I think you're finding your voice and you're finding your feet as a writer. And, you know, this is certainly, I think, a poem that is you know, out there as probably one of the best you've written that I've read. And I think that's because you're communicating so openly with a broader audience, and I think you've done a fantastic job here.
Thank you, especially because earlier when I did delete all, I left four, and this was one of the four that I left up, so it's really nice to hear that.
Cool. And Wayne, with the comment?
Yes, I would. I mean, you had a lot of challenges in your life at a young age. I'm glad you have the consistency in your life now. You had a life still bumps pretty well, it seems like, and I admire you for that. Enjoy your life and keep continuing to writing and enjoy the experience. I hope you have some experiences you enjoy from now on. And don't throw away nothing that you write. If you don't throw away anything that you write, put it in a shoebox and save it. In about 10 years from now or 20 years, you look back and think, boy, this is great to have this. You know, because all your memories are nice to have in shoeboxes if you can do that. Don't throw nothing away. You like it later in life. That's all I can say. Great job.
Thank you.
That's true. It's too easy to have your mood switch in your life, something happen, and you hit the button and delete. You never want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Always have a hard copy behind you. And like you said, in the shoebox, you're going to find 10 years from now and read them, and it'll give you the warm, fuzzy feeling Of us, yeah, of us. thank you, Wayne, for your comment. Like to mention, today was Working Moms Day and National Girl Scout Day. So if you didn't find a Girl Scout to hug, you missed it. Just saying. A little bit of information. March 13th, 2022 of the year of our Lord. Let's see. Can we grab a SoundCloud? AP Taylor?
We can do that. We can do that, Heather.
Before you guys share the SoundCloud.
Yes. Yes, Ellie.
I was going to say, before you guys share, I'm going to head out, but it was nice to be able to read and hear everybody's comments.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I always have a pleasure having you, Ellie. Yeah.
I missed Deb's comment, but I missed what Deb just said, but I heard.
I said it was an awesome poem to bring.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Allie. Call anytime.
We putting Wayne's SoundCloud on or what?
It's about a home that I like to have.
I just didn't want you to think we forgot you.
Oh,
like,
no.
How many times do you have, Wayne?
I'm sitting here for the next hour, so about an hour anyway. I've been watching ball games all day. I'm about tired of looking. I've been watching basketball games all day, and so I get a little weary, but I'm over here as long as I can.
From basketball. Well, then go with what you have, I get AP. Either way,
I put Wayne's up on the board, and I'm hitting it now. Here we go.
This is called The Place I Yearn. To dream of non-existent lands and escape the time of drifting sands and live my life without others' plans, have a perfect life full of love. To watch my children as they grow and let them find what they need to know. Live a life with a happy soul and listen to the man above. A life of sadness we have all seen, where gardens have never been green, and wonder why so many mean. It's why I learned to live life free. To look above a clear blue sky and understand and not ask why. Be content until the day I die. This is the place I wish to see. A place where I can live on a hill, make decisions with my free will, and learn to like the way I feel, to be the place I will adore. Stand up tall and feel the warm breeze. Sit in the shade under my trees. Give praise to God on bended knees. Then I shall ask for nothing more. In.
Well, if that doesn't make you homesick, geez, the music behind you really enhances your reads there, Wayne.
Thank you.
AP, what do you think, Dan? Is Steven still with us? Steven?
No, he had to go.
He had to go. Okay.
No,
he's gone. Okay. AP.
Okie doke. I love the rhyme scheme, and the fact that you've taken the choice of going for the 8-syllable line, Wayne, because it just lets it flow down the page nicely, and if it's, you know, good enough for Shakespeare, it's good enough for all of us. It's got a lovely feel about it, and there's something sort of distinctly Wayne about it at the same time. can't put my hand on. But it's almost a sort of statement about how you view the world. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's also telling us, you know, what you value and what works for you. And I really like it as a poem.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Deborah?
Yeah, it was, you were nearly singing, Wayne. It was filling you with joy, I think, while you were gone. The photo that you wrote to is gorgeous, and I agree that the rhyme scheme is really awesome. There was a mix of emotion that went through it, too, from that, like, dream to sadness down to longing for a place where you can live on a hill and make decisions with free will. It's just, and then towards the end, give praise to God on bended knee that I shall ask for nothing more. It's just a totally gorgeous piece that I see you won a silver award for. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Fantastic share.
Appreciate it. Did you like it?
Yeah. Hey, Deb, what day of the week is the 19th?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Month. What day of the week is the 19th?
Next Sunday.
That's next week, next Saturday, our next show.
Next Saturday, because it's National Laugh Day.
Uh-huh.
Is it?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe AP will take that into consideration when he picks a topic for next week.
I'd already picked the topic, but we can have two topics, Deb.
You picked a topic? Oh, I didn't know.
No, you did. No, you did. And the reason was, can I tell a story?
Yeah, it's just.
Okay. Well, when I leave the door open here, I occasionally get flies and insects in, but the flies are horrible. They just annoy the hell out of me. And I haven't bought any fly spray. And so I was actually trying to hit them with the room deodorizer because the same sort of principle, you know, like it's got a sprayer. And I sort of figure, well, it's going to knock them down surely, you know. But it sort of didn't really work very well. And so I sort of decided to buy some fly spray last week at this thing at the supermarket. So I've never fly spray. And you know how everything gets more complicated, Hatter? You know, everything gets more complicated.
Yeah.
Sit there and you wonder, should it really get more complicated? Like, you know, we started off with razors and they had one blade. And then they went to two blades. And then they went to three blades. And now I think they've got eight. You know, like they've just got more blades than you can count by fingers, yeah? Because we obviously need eight blades to get closer. Yeah? Unfortunately, I see the same thing happening with fly spray because the fly, completely out of touch with these things, has double nozzle technology. In other words, it's got two flippin' sprays. And so if you miss the damn thing, you've got another chance of hitting it, yeah? But I just think that this is heading in a direction where I can see fly spray having bloody eight nozzles, just in case you sort of, it's like a shotgun effect where you just spray the bloody thing. And it'll work for the fly spray company because you use eight times as much, even though you've, you know, trying to use a small amount there. So I think that's the, I think that's where we're going with fly spray. And so I was going to use my apropos of nothing in between except for my story, I was going to do fly spray.
Fly spray. You know, I can't remember the last time I went shopping for any, but when up on the farm, we had the old hand pump, two-handed hand pump, black flag for the flies.
There you
and
go,
they
black
would,
flag.
I would drop them out of the sky.
I've got Raid in front of me. But anyway, there you go. So there you go. Fly spray, Deb. How's that for nobody? You've ever done fly spray.
There you go.
Yeah.
Double nozzle.
You never know.
Technology. Who would have thought that's a technology?
I'm happy to make it a double, you see, and do laughter and fly spray, because I think it sort of works together.
What's breathing that stuff? It'll kill you.
No, that's exactly right. So
yeah.
I know
you learned,
like,
real quick not to stand downwind.
We just pray.
No, exactly right. There you go. That was my thinking. It's not extensive.
Yeah, they have clowns to the left of me, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
That's correct. Exactly right. Exactly right. But there you go. Got to enjoy things. Anyway, Hatter, did you want to do your poem next?
Yeah. I'm going to take a – I didn't check it out, so it's going to be as big a surprise to me as it is to you. My apologies
now,
ahead of time.
Are you happy to read it, or did you want me to read it, Hatter?
I actually have my eyes with me today, so I'm going to – I'll give it a try.
Oh, good. Okay. Hello. Cool. Excellent.
I wouldn't put that burden on anybody.
Okay.
You wouldn't.
So.
Yeah. No,
that's right. I used to have Deborah call me every Saturday morning and we did contests and sing them to me.
Okay.
You keep telling people that. What did I sing? One contest?
I had the greatest job in the world. I actually
no,
had
you
the
made
greatest
me
job
read
the
them all to you, but I didn't sing them. You wouldn't be able to hear right now from all the ear bleeding.
Okay. No, hopefully we've got a difference of view there. Maybe you heard them singing when you sung, Hatter.
I'm getting a phone
anyway.
Call. Let me put this away.
Not sung by me.
Oh, God. Yeah, my phone's not. So I had a phone call try to come in, and it just screwed me out, and there he is again. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay, no dramas at all. Well, if that's the case, yeah, while we have had a taking a phone call, we might do one of the SoundClouds, and we might do the one from Cal, and I'm just going to put that back in on board, and we will paste that now, and I will play the SoundCloud now.
Once for tomorrow, crimson caves, the slaves we become possessed in pasty passionate reverence, cleavage bodice, actors, spectators with hero of punished visions upon digital seas and overwhelming arrogance. Another for today, blinded on digital waves of repression, driftwood visions unearthing our tiny box that had been tossed from the wooden ship, lockets of memories lost with ghosts of tyranny. I'm going away to become dust, the seeds of the generation, with signs that rust and salted wind becoming a living sin, as all the tin soldiers are lined up, smitten, smug, with blood on their face. They are massing along the borders, giant armies of the east, and the czars are gripped with horror while losing their holy need, and the walls are getting higher to isolate our thoughtless graves, taking the land of our God, while they still parade, stomping boots upon mud puddle winter, carrying eager rifles through wilderness, teeming hollow emptiness, burning the pale forest until flames of blinded light devour and decline in backyard gardens filled with ebony smoke, torn pictures charred with dreams fade, metamorphed bodies suspended on hillsides, staring from the shore, stabbing the eyes, death billows into widening skies.
Well, there you go. I'm quickly going to pick up Hatter, who dropped and has come back again. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Pardon me for that.
No, I'm
back.
I was going to say, I have heard that piece before by Cal, and his style is to look at describing sort of, what's the right word, almost like he stares around the house and stares through the windows and sees what he sees in each of the windows and then puts them all together in a sort of package once he's gone and stared through the house. And that sort of episodic style of poetry really works, I think, very well to describe what's going on near to him in Europe at the minute. So that was written 3 weeks ago, but I think it was written preemptively of what he saw coming. So there you go. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, you know, I agree with what you were saying about him, his particular style and stuff. And he always goes into something in a totally unexpected way, as far as I'm concerned. And I always find some of these pieces that are just mind-blowing. Like, for example, I'm going away to become dust, the seeds of the generation with signs that rust in salted wind, becoming a living sin as all 10 soldiers are lined up, smitten, smug, with blood on their face. There's emotion there. There's imagery there. There's metaphors. And just that stanza, let alone all the ones throughout. But he always seems to come at different circumstances in totally unexpected ways, just like this one.
Yeah.
It was a great share.
Wayne, what did you think of Cal's piece?
Yes, I've never heard his poem before. First time I've heard of him. He's a pretty good poet. So, well, he's got a wonderful touch, a wonderful poem here, but with a touch of abstract in it. Has great flow, and the SoundCloud was great too. But I need to read more of his work because he's got a certain style that you need to read more of him to catch on to the style. He's a little bit abstract, but he's got a lot of detail in it too. So it's a good little poem he's got here. I liked it.
Yeah, look, I know Cal pretty well because I've been hosting with him for 3-odd years, and he is slightly abstract. That's very true, but he's not one of these abstract poets that you struggle to work out what he's saying. He does have strong views and strong opinions, as Deb said, and they come through in his writing. So I think he's a really excellent poet. But you know, we all have different styles and appeal to us, but certainly that one works for me. So. Hatta, you're back. You were about to do your poem.
Yeah. I'm back, yeah. Thank you for being understanding. The subject of home, what I realized was there's basically two avenues. One is more sad than the other. The other is, and the common denominator is whether there's change or not.
Yes.
I tried to let mine just sort of flow to see what, because I was really struggling on where I was going to go with it. So I'm not sure how this turned out. I sort of rushed, put it on here. Well, it's called Home. It goes like this. I've taken that trip I never thought I would, the trip back home because I thought I should. The roads leading in took way too long. The country was built and it appeared so long. The pastures ended at the Circle K. It must have taken the wrong way. I could not see the school from the hill. The night had set to the sharper chill. The hood was there, but it appeared no one was there when I was here. The family farm had burned, they say, and now was a mall and another Circle K. I found my way to the tree that stood with names I carved inside the wood. The hill was barren, no tree with names, no cheek-kissing memory. I thought it a shame. And just as though I began to leave, I noticed something under the leaves. Initial was yours, and I hope mine too. I brushed clear the dirt, and there with you. It's in the ashes of a burnt bark of a tree, surviving the fires that swept through history. A small piece that should have burned, it all came back in the day I learned that nothing remains as it once were, and time passes quickly, and there is no cure. Then before my eyes it flamed and said, everything here is dying or dead. You can't come back and claim a tree. It was never yours throughout history. 'Tis better you wake wearing the dreams than it is to try and know what all means. No path can replace, nor can it stay clear of others' needs to be right here. Yeah, not a strong ending. I struggled through that.
No. Well, I was going to say, Patter, I think
a number of your poems in the last week, you could say, have been, you know, sort of needing a bit more work. I don't think this one needs any more work at all. I think this is actually a fully formed poem, and I think it has a really strong message, and that is that, you know, we can think about home, and we can think about it nostalgically, and we can think about our places in that home. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the minute we leave, it's gone. And the minute that we leave it, it's moved on. And as you rightly say, other people have claimed that air and claimed that memory, because it doesn't just belong to us, it belongs to others. And so you have to know that, and you have to accept that. And it's a very poignant piece.
Yeah, I remember the time, the day that I felt I needed to go back to the village, you know, the small town I grew up in. I hadn't been there in over 10 years. Hadn't been there in over 10 years. And when I went, it was a huge disappointment. I must have been expecting too much, and there was too much there. All the little greenery, the pastures, the horses, the cattle, the barns were all gone. The orchards were tore up, and there were nothing but rooftops. And it really saddened me. I wasn't expecting that. I remember I was here on AP when we first started, and I remember mentioning how alien it felt and how disappointed and how I felt like a man without a country, that I didn't feel I had a home to go back to. That was really a stick in the thigh, you know. So, Devin, how do you think I did?
Well, I think you did great. I think that I agree with AP, and also the point where it seems like it starts out like that trip, okay, and it sparks memories, and then there's some nostalgia, and there's some sadness, and then it seems like we slip into more of a dream state, almost like a nightmare-ish, it's the fire stood up. I can't find it within the
ashes. When the fire spoke back.
You know, I really hate that happened. Where is it? Before my eyes flamed and said, everything here is dying or dead. You can't come back and claim a tree. It was never yours throughout history. And it made me think of nightmares from, like, the fires around you and stuff like that, and not just a tree going up in smoke, but some of the memories. But really, you proved in the beginning that none of the memories really went away. The markers for them might not be standing there, but the memories are. that you know, you can't take them from you. They're yours forever. So I thought this was like a bunch of tidbits, like a walk through you, and I don't think you should call this one not finished or not good either. I think that you really laid it out there.
Yeah, I remember having an initial ending to it, and what it was that it hit on never come back looking for something when you already have it in your head. You already have it in your dreams. Don't mess with it, because it tainted the memories I had
when I was expecting too much. You know, I grew up in small town USA, you know, perfect place to grow up. And none of the change that I see was good, and I was too much expectations that I put it on myself. So if you ever had that urge, make sure you're in the right state of mind when you go back home. There's going to be change. It's going to change.
Yeah.
And look for the positive in it. Don't look for the back past because it's already gone.
Yep.
And this is the second time I've written one about going back to the tree I carved somebody's name on.
Yeah.
I found that a sort of a good hook to try to climb to.
Yeah. No.
Wayne, what do you think?
Going home can be hard sometimes. You know, when you go back home, you carry a whole bunch of memories with you. And when you get there, the memories are diffused a little bit because you see you didn't think the same way it was. Like he was talking about, it's not the same way it was. He's got a lot of emotion in this poem. It's sad, but it's also a wonderful poem. The memories on the way home can be a lot better. Memories can be a lot better than it really was back in the day. Even though our days were so great, there's bad times back then too. But we just remember the good. And then me myself, I've got great memories. And anything that was bad, I kind of turned into something that was good. Now the motor, I kind of. They look the bad parts, and they seem good now. So your memory is what you want to cherish, and things change. You can't help them change. Change comes, and ain't nothing you can do about that. But you sound like you had a good life, and you got some good memories, and that's what you'll be thankful for. Great job.
Yeah, I think I did it wrong, too. I came back home alone looking for something. And it wasn't easy to share the good memories with somebody because nobody was there. Yeah, I should have been more careful. That.
Hatter.
Yeah.
I agreed with you when you said you can look at sort of past memories and you can look at pointing or they can be almost reassuring memories of home. Yeah. So I was going to do my next because it's sort of the same thing, but it's sort of the opposite yin and yang type thing. You can get.
Okay.
So is it okay if I do mine next?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah?
Hey.
I really like John Denver. Go whack me, but I really like John Denver. And he was another person that my father played a lot of. For the record, John Denver could sing. So I know a lot of people said he couldn't, but he really could.
John Denver and his highlight was a national treasure.
Hold that thought, Wayne. But here we go. This is Streams Shiver. And it goes a little bit like this. Almost seven. Streams a shiver, great divide, snowy was the river, life's slow red, golden on the breeze, younger than the cloth stains, trailing by degrees, sunshade boat, take me home by the grace of a song. Streams they shiver and shadows come up. Take me home, sunshade boat. All these amorous trees lather round her. Fine braiding rustle as brew water and rusty paraded by the sky. Crystal taste of pearls fine, near drops by and by. Sunshade, Lord, take me home by the grace of a song. Streams that shiver and shadows come up. Take me home, sunshade, Lord. I make a choice in the dawning hour she calls me.
Simeo reminds me of my home far away. Arriving down the road lies revealing that I could have been shown trouble's way, trouble's way. Take me home on Sunshade Road by the grace of a song. Streams may shiver and shadows come up. Take me home on Sunshade Road. Take me home, country roads, to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama. Take me home, country roads. Oh, take me home, them country roads. And come.
Wow. That was pretty awesome. You know, your Take Me Home on Sunshade Road is really damn clever, because the sound was close enough, and the your wording, like almost seven, streams of shiver, great divide, snowy was the river. So the snowy was the river, of course, for all of us, or at least for me and probably Hatter, the man from Snowy River showed up there for just a second. But seriously, the timing, the syllable count, the sound, it all went perfectly with the original song. And I know, because I was singing the original in my head while you were singing this one, you didn't miss a beat. I'm a John Denver fan too. And this is a longer song. It's harder to do the parodies when the songs are longer and keep it going, and you did all the way through every stanza, every, and then I'm keep going back to that though, on Sunshade Road by the grace of a song. Sometimes the grace of a song is all that keeps you going when you're trying to get from point A to point B. On a complete side note, a trip is a horrifying thing if there's not a radio in the car. Just saying. But this came out amazing, AP.
Thank you.
Going to talk, Hatter?
I think I'm muted.
No, you're not muted.
Oh, you're unmuted. Oh, okay, you unmuted me. It's going to be one of those nights, man. It blinked out.
Saw it drop. I watched for you to get back in so you could be here.
Okay, cool. And in doing so, I missed most of that song. Yeah, a little on John Denver. You know, when he played, when the movie God came out, I don't know if you remember.
Yes, he did. He did. I remember that.
His stardom came very quick as far as an entertainer. And sadly enough, it faded just as quickly. Not that he didn't lose his fan base. It just, he was not in the highlight of Hollywood or in the music. Yeah. My parents too. My dad had an 8-track of John Denver and an 8-track of Andy Griffith songs.
Yes.
Go figure.
Yeah, no. He was brilliant. He just had a great voice and. He finished his episode. He finished his songs stronger than when he started, which is something to say of how he could sing. He could really sing.
As far as tone, he was as good as anybody.
Yeah.
His tone and his voice.
I agree.
Excellent.
Wayne?
Yes, Denver's one of my favorite artists. I always liked him. He always thought he was good. Great voice. This is a fabulous parody. I think John is probably smiling right about now. It's a wonderful job singing, and the poem song made me feel warm inside. Country roads, take me home to where AP lives. Great job there, AP.
No, thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
Yeah, and iconic lines. I think the opening to Rocky Mountain High, I think it was born in the summer of his 27th year.
Yeah,
like
he could really write, too. He had some beautiful lines. He really did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't... You know,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying his music just seemed to disappear, and it shouldn't have. It's iconic and brilliantly written. It was a brilliant singer.
Yeah, Hollywood and the music industry is cruel that way. It's ruined a lot of people's lives, not enough to. Yeah.
I agree with you.
It
throws people into the stars and then it throws them into the ashes as quickly, and it's happened to a lot of careers where you know, they've been flying along and then all of a sudden they're gone. It's just amazing. But no, he was brilliant.
I like Back Home Again. Excellent. One of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. It's a brilliant song.
Love it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that, the movie God. Excellently. I remember
great
when
movie,
it when first
movie.
Came out. Good movie. And it shows his talent. He did. He played the part really well.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Oh, John Denver. That wasn't his real name, was it?
That's a good question. How do
I know? I don't know.
So let me have a look.
A guy named...
Yeah,
last name Denver, thing of Colorado.
Henry
John Dusendorf Jr.
Dusendorf. Okay.
Dusendorf Jr. Henry John Dusendorf Jr.
Wow. Jr.
He was born on New Year's Eve in Roswell, New Mexico.
He's an alien. He's an alien. I knew it.
Yeah. His father,
yep.
Dutch, was a record-breaking pilot in the United States Air Force. And because he was born into a military family, John lived in a number of places while growing up. So,
a lot of alone time. Yeah, a lot of alone time.
And puts a little more meaning to the song that AP just did the parody to, because he probably really did see all those places that he mentioned in the song.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
I think he's singing about himself.
Yep.
In Rocky Mountain
Shenandoah
High.
Shenandoah River.
Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's talking about himself.
All right. There you go. I was going to put, before I sort of thought that this is a spider patterns poem, I was going to put Phil the Poet on next. Just a quick reminder, I don't know whether I said my middle son's got COVID, so he's isolating at the minute, and he's had the hospital and the home visiting him to give him antibiotics and steroid inhalers daily, and he's doing pretty well, actually. He's feeling a lot better today, but he's had three pretty tough days. So big shout out to Darcy, and hopefully you'll be back to yourself very quickly. But it is nasty. Nasty.
Yeah.
So
feel better.
You don't
feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was gonna do next Had a Full Poet. So I was gonna do the SoundCloud for that now, if that's okay.
Yeah, I've got to take some meds. I'm going to be on mute for a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, just we can do that. So I'll put you on mute, and I don't know, just send me a quick message when you are ready to roll. Okay. So I've got Hatter on mute, and while I've got Hatter on mute, I've got Phil on the SoundCloud.
Cool.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Trying to Find My Way Back Home. Through the fields and meadows I roam, threading the weary path all on my own, sweltering underneath the midday sun, walking on until the journey is done. Over mountains and through valleys I tread, reading the word of God, which is my daily bread, helps me to carry on when the road is rough, picks me up when my body says I've had enough, lost in situations created in my confusion, takes me away from home by an illusion, sheltering from the storm that is to come. There's no place to hide, no place to run. Fugitive from a dying, immoral world of evil, caught in the undergrowth of modern upheaval, seeking a heavenly country whose builder is God, to find safe passage from the destruction of his wrath. And though I stumble and fall on the way, he will hold me up until my dying day, guiding my footsteps, healing my bones, until this pilgrim finds his way back home. End poem.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. It's inspired by painting The Pilgrim, and I think it's interesting that the through the meadows and fields I roam, through the weary path all on my own. There's a real sense of loneliness and seeking that comes through in your words. So I really enjoy it and always enjoy your reads.
For one, I really like to listen to Phil read. One of the best things that happened was he started recording his poems for us. And I like this from the title, Trying to Find My Way Back Home. And there in his voice this time when he was reading, I don't know if I want to say sadness. I'll put my finger on it when I listen to the replay. But over mountains and through valleys I tread, reading the word of God, which is my daily bread, helps me to carry on when the road is rough, picks me up when my body says I've had enough. The rhyme was awesome. There was spiritualness to it. There was, like I said, something else. I just can't place what the feeling is that I'm picking up. And at the end there, the last stanza, and though I stumble and fall on the way, he will hold me up until my dying day, guiding my footsteps, healing my bones until this pilgrim finds his way back home. So he brings it back to the hope at the end, the faith of knowing that it's going to be okay, I'm going to get home. So it was a very powerful write. And an award winner, too.
I thought it was wistful, Deb. I thought it was sort of vaguely, a vague, regretful sort of longing for something. How's that? I thought it was wistful.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be.
You don't get
something
many times
there.
Sort of wistful, but I think this was one. Wayne, what did you think of Phil the Poet?
I said, this is a lovely poem, Phil. Home is a special place. Everyone deserves to have memories of their home. This poem has a sadness about it. I can't pinpoint, but it's a very good poem. You did a good job reading it. Great job, Phil.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm still going with wistful, Deb. So that's where I'm staying. So for the record. Okay. Well, I was going to do R.S. Morris next because that leaves us with Gonzo. We are all Gonzo to finish the show because, I listened to We Are All Gonzo for one of the first times yesterday and I thought it was fantastic. So we'll sort of close the show with that and always I enjoy R.S. Morris because he just has a classic voice for poetry and he always writes about something meaningful, usually historic. And so I haven't actually gone and checked this, but I'd be really surprised if it's not. So there we go. We'll have put the soundtrack on now. This is R.S. Morris and it goes a bit like this.
Remember when At the lake, the arrowheads we found. That morning, the boat had drowned. I was cutting grass, stung by bees. We nailed catfish heads to trees. We grew up at Coweta Raceway. We got the Mason's fish fillet. I rode my long fork bicycle chopper. I fed a crawfish with an eyedropper. Remember when I played my guitar with a warped neck? My friend Johnny was in a car wreck. I went to my first high school dances. I was nervous about my first romances. I had my first job washing dishes. Car parts were my birthday wishes. I saw the 32 Ford that was cool the day I graduated high school. Remember when I caught my first largemouth bass? I wrote your name in stained glass. I had my first date with Tammy. I had dreams of moving to Miami. I worked in a factory building tubs. I fell from Lisa's dorm into shrubs. I was in a wreck. The lady lost her wig. I got my first real flying gig. Remember when? The first time I got married. I had a parakeet named Sylvester I buried. My Corvette had a bent steering wheel. I flew explosives to Rio, Brazil. The landing gear didn't work. The local townspeople went berserk. The cops thought I was stealing a plane, a paralegal degree I worked to attain. Remember when I rode with Lynn on a horse? I married Maria at Trump's golf course. I played pool with McGraw at Shooters. I was flying jets made up of computers. Now an old guy moved back home. Me, Maria, and Toby, our cat. Memories to look back on. It's nice to remember all that.
Well, it was a history of sorts, but this time it was a history of Iris Morris rather than a history of the Civil War. It was a really interesting and very well composed and rhymed piece. And as always, beautifully told. Wayne, what did you think of Iris's piece?
Yeah, I've heard this before. I said, this is perfect. I keep telling people when you get older, can you hear me? I said, this is perfect. I keep telling people when you get older, and I am older, that your memories are the most important thing there is. Your memories are who you are. Cherish the memories and love them, even the bad ones, because they're who you are, and nobody else knows who you really are. If you lose your memories, you don't exist. But other than remember, and write down your memories, it's so important. Get your ass up and go out and do something to remember. Great SoundCloud, great life, and a perfect poem. Good job.
Well done, Mike. Yeah, great comment. And Deb, what did you think of this piece by RS?
You know, when it first started, there was something different in the music, and then he started reading, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm so used to his Civil War collection that I was pleasantly surprised that we were, like you had said, different kind of history. It was more of a nostalgic walk through him. And I thought that the pieces he shared was really cool, like, you know, his first job and back a little bit, playing the guitar with a warped neck. My friend Johnny was in a car wreck. Just all these little details. It was like little flashes of him throughout. So it was a really different write for him. But I really, really liked it. I liked the, I guess it's the softer, sentimental side of him. So I'm really glad he pulled this one out. And I also wanted to note that it only won, like, 7 awards, a couple of which are gold. So, like, apparently I'm not the only one that was getting a little bit of joy out of the softer side of you sharing you. So I'm really glad you sent this one. Thank you.
Excellent. Well done, Deb. Now, Deb, I'm up on the board. We've waited a little while, but yours is up on the board to do.
Skidoke. Go back over there.
Okay, perfect timing. The other phone died. Let me unmute this one. I think I'm muted. I'm not. Okay, cool. I'm back. Here we are. I'm going to help me. Here it is. Okay, this was written to the prompt of the Motley Crue song, Home Sweet Home. And it's called You Know I'm a Dreamer, which, of course, is a little piece of lyric from the song. Here we go. As the sun sets, the sunlight dies, then opal strobes the ebony skies. Moonlight prism, the earth supplies, point to the stepping stones back home, sweet home. Call me a dreamer for just the night. Lift me out from the dark, then pull me into light. The light that shines at home, sweet home. Down highways that curve and twist with white line fever and roadblocks from the opaque mist. Just chase the shadows and ignite the light. The light that is found at home, sweet home. Golden weeping as the moon bell fell. Like pennies and fountains, satellites sink. Eclipsing the lights on the sky over my home, sweet home. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. And look, that, you know, I think I think you are a dreamer. You are a dreamer. I think some people
absolutely
look at things with the glass half empty. You're one of those people who looks at things with the glass half full, and you're prepared to sort of share that sort of world view with others, and you're prepared to always give people the benefit of the doubt. And it's one of the things I think that defines you, and that's why I think this poem sort of fits you very well.
Thank you. Awesome comment.
Fine. Did you want to say a few words about this poem?
Yes, I've heard it before. This is a great poem. It's a what a good read tonight, too. It starts off with, as the sun sets and the sun dies, on opal strobe and every skies. It's a great little way to start it off, and all the way through, it's just lovely. And it makes me a little jealous of where your home is, because you have a very, very good and very nice home to think about. Home sweet home. Great words. Good job there, Deb.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it.
So, very well done, Deb. Great choice, too. I actually hadn't heard that one. So, I know it's only a month ago, but I still haven't heard it. So, good to actually hear it. So, Hatter has left us for the evening, Deb. He's put a message on the board saying he's hit the wall, which was probably always going to happen, but he's only missed about two or three times in the broader scheme of things. So,
I've got one thing to leave you with.
Sorry,
say
Mike.
That again.
I said I got one little thing I'd like to leave you all with. I looked upon it and go, I want you to hear this. That's all I want to say. Put it up, show.
Awesome.
Thank you. That's kind of cool.
We have
a bundle poem put on the board, which is, as I said, I'm quite excited about. It's by We Are All Gonzo. It's Do You Lock Your Doors at Night? So I'm going to put that up on the board now and then play the SoundCloud, Deb, and then we'll talk about laughter and fly spray. How's that for a combination? Nobody's ever done that before. National Laughter Day, laughter and fly spray is where we're at for next week. Go figure. We'll see what people do with that. Or you can do both together. You can do laughter and fly spray in the same poem if you wish. You know, that's what's not. We'll hold you back. So I'm going to play this piece now, and here we go.
Gary, did you remember to lock the door?
Oh, God damn it.
I can't sleep if you don't lock the door.
For fuck's sake. Jesus Christ.
Imagination increases volume, turning tiptoes to timpanis. Beyond blackened corners, creaks become violently cacophonic. Bravery invited behind blissful, ignorant, viewed blindness. Some suspicious activity arousing anxiety sufficiently. Helplessly hoping cannot hide cresting catatonics. Nightmarish creatures nesting, nestling convincingly. Leery lookout fierce fiends fight lightless.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Screams recorded, rendered symphonic.
What's going on? Are you there by yourself?
There is a bad man in your home.
You need to stay on the phone with me, okay? Just wait until we get there.
Killing willingly, with karmatic kindness.
Then it just finishes. Isn't that eerie?
Yeah, creepy stuff. That was cool.
The 9/11 sort of person's on and then talking to them and then he's gone, you know?
Yeah. Like a horror movie for the radio. I can't get over the what he puts into these. It's pretty remarkable. Like we had the fairy tale, and now we have the horror tale. And there's something about his voice. Like I feel I've
voice
heard
is,
it. He does an amazing job of this. It's so impressive.
He could do if he doesn't do voiceovers, he could. He's got a brilliant voice. And he can carry the pieces off with just his voice, but then he involves others and does the production stuff like the caller with the 9/11, and you can hear the static and this sort of stuff. Just really clever.
Yeah, I agree. He's just really fantastic at these. Everything I've heard of his so far has been, purely entertaining. He's absolutely
wicked
in it.
Does a wonderful job. He thinks about working clearly. So, most impressive. So, and a great place to finish. Thanks to Wayne for hanging with us. Thanks to all the folk who sent in SoundClouds. Thanks to you, Deb, for being with us. And thanks to Fahada for getting well enough to host for a good part of the show and be with us for most of it. So that was good news. Apropos the John Denver piece, I've actually got in John Denver on the board. Otherwise, I'd place him from then to the finish. But as it happens, you know how you were talking about John Denver being sung at the baseball? It's actually in Australia. we don't sing John Denver, but we do sing an In Excess song. So one of the four clubs here, Port Adelaide, has taken that on as their theme song. And so all of the crowd sing this song before each match, which is kind of cool. And they do it every time. So, you know, you have 50 people, 50,000 people singing a song. It's kind of cool, especially if they're really bursting it out. So I was going to finish with In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart.
Love it.
So that's the song they sing. So, and we'll be back with Laughter and Fly Spray. Go figure. Try and compare them.
Wait a minute. Laughter and what, anything?
Fly Spray.
Oh, Fly Spray. Okay. I don't know what I thought you said, but it wasn't Fly Spray.
Laughter and Fly Spray.
And they do go together. I'm giggling at the thought of what might come out of that topic. Really?
Do not. Laughter and Fly Spray. That's where we're going.
Don't let it be said
that we go and copy anybody else, Deb. We boldly strike out in poetic directions that nobody else has actually gone.
I am 100% sure I've never had the prompt of Fly Spray before.
We are not derivative, Deb. We are not derivative. We do not go and look at other people's shows and say, I think I'm going to go copy that. We don't do that. We set boldly the agenda for modern poetry. And so therefore, we're going with Laughter and Fly Spray. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
That was aimed at nobody in particular. Okay, here we go. This is In Excess, Never Tear Us Apart. We'll see you next week for Laughter and Fly Spray. Until then, have a great week and talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Don't ask me what you know is true. Don't have to tell you I love your precious heart. I was standing, you were there. Two worlds collided and they never tear us apart. We could live for 1,000 years, but if I hurt you,
Well, there we go with Michael Hutchinson. Of course, next week, laughter and fly spray. You know you want to write for it. You know you can do it. We'll be back with you in a week's time. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Ada. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Love and respect.
Bye.